Yeah, yet another difficult name to pronounce. So this is joint work with my group at IBM India Research Lab. In this particular work, what we are trying to look at is, there's a lot of work on consolidation using virtualization, and one of the goal is power minimization. What we'll tend to look here are there characteristics on the server workload that impact how well you could do consolidation? So before we go any further, let's look at what exactly do we do in a consolidation. So there are two variants of consolidation, static and dynamic. And in both cases, static just means that you do consolidation over long periods of time. Dynamic is when you do it for shorter durations, let's say 1 hour or something like that. Both cases, what you do is you look at your current workload, you profile it in some way, then you size each application to some unit of that. It could be the number of cores or stuff like that. Then you select the right set of servers that could host the applications, and then you do the placement. What people have not really looked at is that there are some important considerations, especially for static consolidation. And I'll come to that. Come to why that's important. Static consolidation tends to be more important than dynamic consolidation. Is that static consolidation? A plan is going to remain active for long durations. It could remain active for a day. It could remain active for a week. And in that duration, what's going to happen is that the workload would peak and then it would fall down. So there's a lot of variation. So the first question is, how do you then size the workload? Do you size based on peak? Well, that could be too conservative. You could size based on average. That could be too risky. Is there something else that you need to size it on? And then now since these are two stochastic processes, which workload should you co-locate? The answer is not very simple. Then there's this typical thing that there could be different kinds of servers, and what servers do you select? So that's a question that people have looked at enough, and we are not going to cover that in this particular talk. So I just told that static consolidation is important, and the reason it's important is that most administrators, even though you have things like live migration and all, they are not very comfortable with having a automated tool moving things around. They want to look at a consolidation plan, they want to give an OK to it, and then they want to execute it. So in real practice, even though you have a lot of research papers working with dynamic consolidation, in real practice, what's relevant more is static consolidation. And there you have these important questions that people have not really looked at. So in the rest of my talk, I'm going to first cover the workload that we studied. Then I'm going to cover some of the most important characteristics. And these characteristics are different from the typical workload characterization paper, because we are looking at characteristics that are important for consolidation. So not in terms of the nature of the workload, whether it's a Markovian model or something like that, but more like things which will impact the consolidation. Then we'll cover some of the major implications of these observations that we make. I'll then cover a new placement methodology that we propose, which is kind of leverages all the observations that we make. And I'll briefly go through some of the validation. So the workload that we looked at is from a production data center of a really large company. We had monitored information for the data center. So we had one measurement every 5 minutes as an average of that 5 minutes. We took a 90-day period in the year 2007. And there were like thousands of servers, which is kind of difficult to analyze. So we just picked four application clusters with between 10 to 20 servers. These applications are pretty typical. So three of them had like a two-tiered application suite with an application server and a DB server. The fourth one was a three-tiered one with a web server, an application server, and a DB server. So these are pretty representative workloads, things that are probably very common in many enterprises. So now this is the laundry list of the characteristics that we found. So the first thing, which is kind of people would expect, is that in a reasonably long time, let's say a day or a week, you'd see that the peak load for each server is close to 100%, which is also because of the nature of some applications, which tend to take as much CPU as you give it. So pretty much what we are saying is that if you consolidate applications by sizing them based on their peak value, then you're not going to do pretty good because it's going to peak at some point to 100%. So you really can't take the peak. One nice thing that you could see there is that 90 percentile value. So 90% of the time, you actually are consuming a lot less than peak. So there's a huge gap between 90 percentile and peak. So which kind of suggests that you could probably size based on things like 90 percentile, and you'd be doing fine. But there's this bad news then, which is that the overall distribution of the workloads is not very it's not exponentially decaying. So what in basic sense it means is that the even though the peaks are pretty far off, and you'd expect the peak to not happen too frequently, they do happen frequently enough for you to consider them. So since the tail doesn't decay very quickly, you really cannot size things based on a body, some metric of the body, and hope that that thing is going to happen very, very infrequently. It's going to happen reasonably frequently for you to be worried about. Other than the single application workload, we try to look at what are the characteristics between two workloads. So we found that there are applications which are both positively correlated, then there are applications that are not correlated. So you have a choice. So the real thing to take out from there is that you have a choice of which application do you co-locate. It's not a trivial problem. You need to come up with an informed decision. The other interesting thing is that we used correlation coefficient to qualify two applications of whether they are correlated or not. And what you can also do at the same time is look at when do the applications peak. And there's not a one-to-one correspondence. Applications that have a high correlation coefficient may not always peak together. That's because of the nature of the coefficient. It's more like it looks at the whole duration and not just at the peak. So even though they tend to be like positively correlated with each other, they will not always correspond identically. So this is the correlation between workloads. There's a third thing that one needs to look at. In consolidation, what you're eventually doing is you're looking at some history, then you're going to come up with a plan, execute it for the future. Now, you need to figure out if your workload is stable enough so that your future plan will be valid. So one thing that we need to look at is the stability of these statistical parameters from the history to the future. And there we had some good news. So quite a few servers exhibited periodic behavior. And if things are periodic, you're fine. You can just predict them. You just need to have a sufficiently long history, and you will be able to predict the future. So these are the good servers. There were some servers which were not periodic. But if you look at their some statistical parameter, let's say you look at their peaks, their peak value is fairly stable. So you don't know when they will peak, but you know that at some point in the next day, they are going to go to, let's say, 70%, which is their peak. The other thing that was that other metrics also, like averages, were also fairly stable. Then there was like third category of workload, which were slightly lesser, but this is the difficult portion, which are, for which even these characteristics were not changing. But we actually did a moving average for them, a simple moving average, sliding window moving average. And for them, the sliding window moving average was able to predict the statistical numbers for the next one day, next 2 days, or so on. So this is kind of all the information that we had, and it's a lot of information. So what do we do with it? So one of the very easy thing is that, okay, peak-based sizing doesn't work. So that's something that you cannot do. Sizing based on parameters like mean may have performance risk. That's because of the high variation in the workload. And correlation is kind of tricky. If you don't handle it properly, it may increase the risk further. So the first technique, which is kind of the simple way out of this, is you figure out applications that are positively correlated. You separate them out. You put them on different servers. And then what you're hoping is if one application on a server is going to peak, some other application will not peak at the same time. So you have some spare resources. You can borrow from them. And things would be fine. but it doesn't really work out. One of the reasons is that correlation, you are looking at the whole time series as opposed to just the peak part of it. And they may not correspond to each other. And the second is basically the nature of the problem is different. You have a body, you have a tail. You cannot ignore either the body or the tail. And even with this correlation-based technique, what we're trying to say is that, okay, we'll size based on body and hope that the peaks don't come. So that's a basic problem. And so what do we do? some complicated technique we can think of that probably nobody will use. Well, if you're, I mean, the answer is in the problem itself. You cannot size based on body, you cannot size based on tail. So you use two parameters. It's as simple as that. That's what we do. So this final technique that we propose, it's called peak clustering based placement. We abbreviate it by PCP in the later slides. And essentially what we do is, okay, I have a workload. I use two metrics for sizing it. One for the body, so it could be mean, it could be, let's say, 70 percentile, 90 percentile, something or somewhere around there. The other could be the max. So you have these two different parameters that you use for sizing, and depending on who do you collocate it, you use one of these parameters. So if you collocate with other applications that peak together, then you have no choice but to size based on its peak. Whereas if you're placing it with other applications that are not going to peak together, then you can basically size based on its mean or the any other value that you pick for the body. So what it also means is automatically implies that you need to do some kind of clustering to figure out which applications will peak together. And once you have done the clustering, then things are reasonably straightforward. You have done the clustering, you know these applications will not peak together. You have a server, you proportionally allocate a workload on the server from each cluster, and things should be fine. There's a small problem there, though, that if you have two different time series, if you want to figure out whether they peak together, you want to do time series analysis, you want to do it for all possible pairs, and as you keep on adding more and more workloads to a server, it's not even like NC2, but it kind of blows up. So there's this problem that you need to solve, and which is essentially how do you cluster workloads that peak together. So again, the answer to that is fairly straightforward. What you do is you create an envelope of the workload. What you're concerned about for every workload is not all the 1,000 values that it takes. What you're concerned about is what is the value for the peak that you're going to take and what's the value for the body that you're going to take. So to take an example, let's say in this particular case, we are saying that this is on the left side, you have the workload and the distribution of the points. So you see the C max, which is the maximum value that the workload takes. And you take another parameter, CB, which is for the body. And what you do, so CB could be like 90 percentile, it could be 70 percentile, 80 percentile, depends on whatever you want to use. And then for the original workload, you create an envelope with just two levels. A CB, all values that are CB or less are approximated to CB. All values that are above CB are approximated to Cmax. Now, if you can see, it kind of completely changes the problem. Now you can represent each workload by a few periods. These are the periods when they peak. And so it's like a bunch of periods that you peak at, bunch of periods that you don't peak at. And now clustering is fairly straightforward. You just need to figure out if there's a large number of overlapping peak periods between two workloads. So instead of looking at the whole time series, you just need to look at a few time periods which are common. And that kind of simplifies the problem a lot. Eventually, once you have clustered everything, the way you want to do is you have servers, you have a set of, you have, let's say, one server, you want to figure out what applications to place there. You have reservation for each cluster. So in this particular example, there are three clusters that you came up with. And you want to place these three clusters on the server. So you proportionally allocate enough number of workloads on that server. And then you keep a peak buffer. This is combined for all the three clusters because you know that these three clusters are not going to peak together. So you have peak one for the cluster one, peak two for the cluster two, and peak three for the largest for the cluster three. And the good thing is that all these peaks will happen in different periods of time. So you need to allocate a peak buffer which is only equal to the peak of the largest of these three clusters. And that's where all the savings will come from. Just to summarize everything, what we're doing here is we're first creating an envelope. It's just to make sure that your clustering can work fine. Then you cluster workloads based on their peaks. Then you select the most power efficient server, which is lots of people have worked on that, and you just pick something that they use. And then once you have the servers, you have the clusters. For each server, you say, okay, this is a server, it has so much capacity. I have five clusters. From each cluster, you proportionally allocate workloads to the server, and also you keep a peak buffer. So some of the actual maths is in the paper of what, it's fairly straightforward. It's proportional, so you just divide the total size of all clusters by the cluster size, and that's the proportion that you get on each server. But the details are there in the paper. And you keep up a buffer for the peak, and the standard techniques that people have to minimize fragmentation, something called first fit decreasing and all that, and you can use those techniques. There's nothing new there. So this is pretty much what the overall algorithm looks like. Now we come to some of the validation. For I'll not go into too much detail here because they are there in the paper. And so we implemented these techniques in a tool from IBM called Emerald 2.0. So the tool already had some of these dynamic consolidation algorithms where you could size workloads and place them in the using a method that was kind of the best known till now. And for a dynamic consolidation algorithm, they kind of tend to say that I don't care about sizing. You give me a size for this VM, and my job is just to pack it. So for that particular algorithm, we add two variants to it, which is one of them is the sizing is done based on peak, and the second is sizing is based on mode. We took traces for 5 days, and on those 5 days, we profiled the workload, came up with whatever we wanted to, and came up with a final consolidation using all these methods. And then we evaluated it on the 6th day. So the history and the future are separate. And then we evaluated all these methods with respect to the power consumed, which is kind of the main metric. The second thing is how many violations do we see? And these are just capacity violations. That a server actually went to 100%, then you say it's a capacity violation. The third thing that is not very important. It doesn't seem to be very important at the high level, but it's very important for administrators is that most of these dynamic consolidation algorithms tend to create a skew, that there are some servers which are highly loaded, some which are not very highly loaded. Whereas administrators would like to see things being spread around. If a server is on, then it should be doing something useful. So the third thing is the workload imbalance, which is the difference between the most highly loaded server in the cluster and the averagely loaded server. So in terms of the results, what we have is the four application suites on the x-axis. We have the four techniques. The first two bars are for the existing known technique using sizing first as peak, and then the second one is mode. So you can kind of assume that peak is the most power that you can consume, and mode is the lower bound because you're sizing based on, you're completely ignoring the peak of the distribution. So you're kind of being very, very aggressive. So what the thing that you can see is for the first cluster, consolidation didn't help at all. So one was unconsolidated. So everything is normalized. So one means unconsolidated. So in certain clusters, if you size based on peak, you're not saving any power at all. The second thing is that the pink bar and the kind of white bar, these barring absolute one are fairly close. So we are pretty much very close to the lower limit that you can hope to achieve. And so even though we are not asked, the mode-based kind of outperforms us in power, the reason is that it actually leads to a lot of violations. So it's very simple. You are sizing based on averages, and you're not even taking care of which things can peak together and all that. So you're going to have a lot of violations. So the second graph actually gives you the violations. And as you can see, the pink bar is like very high at most places. There's one interesting thing that even CBP, the technique that we proposed, also has violations for one particular app suite. And that's also because CBP, again, there are some tuning parameters in both CBP and PCP. So CBP has this correlation cutoff. When you say that things are correlated, there's some number. So if you set the number low, then it can happen that you see a lot of violations. there's one more interesting thing that's not in these plots that one needs to be aware of. That is, there's this argument then people can say that you can size based on averages, and anyway, if it peaks a little bit, if it goes beyond 100, why do I care? Maybe it goes to 105, but it's not going to really slow down the application. It will spike for a moment, and then it will saturate. So the one thing that we also measured was how much does it go to if you had like the full server available. And then we found that in most cases, the mode-based sizing can actually go to double the size of the server, which is not a very small amount of spike that you're looking at, which it kind of suggests that the mode-based thing is not very practical. To conclude, it's some obvious things. CPU utilization has a high degree of variance, and it's not, the tail doesn't exponentially decays, so you need to worry about both the body of the distribution and the tail of the distribution. Most servers would peak close to 100%. So sizing based on peak is not particularly good. Average utilization is much lower, but has high consolidation risk. And the statistical parameters, even if you look at the workload and feel that it's not very stable, if you look at just the statistical parameters, if you just look at the max that you see, if you look at the 90 percentile, these things are a lot more stable than the workload itself, which is kind of surprising. And placement based on two parameters for sizing is actually the way to go. That's pretty much it.
In the results slide, how did you measure power?
OK, so in these cases, what we have done is, since in the interest of time, what we did initially was create a power model for those particular servers on serving the same workload. And then we have a particular CPU utilization that you get at the end of the placement, and we use the model to compute the power.
Okay, so it's not...
It's not measured.
Right, I mean, you're not actually...
Yeah, but it's coming from a model that's measurement-driven, so it should be more or less accurate.
Okay, thank you.
So the state of the art in the industry is dynamic load balancing, whether it's on a VM basis or other bases between hosts. How much room is left on top of your work with respect to both power as well as load balancing if we were doing things dynamically?
So if your things if you're actually doing dynamic consolidation, then I guess you don't really care about the statistical properties between workloads. So I'm not sure, because then the existing techniques actually don't do a lot of load balance, because there is a little bit of play here. If you're looking to dynamically consolidate very frequently, then it's probably a good idea for you to have skews, so that you have servers which are lightly loaded, and if the load goes down a little bit more, then you don't have to migrate a lot of VMs. So in for static consolidation, it is probably useful to have load balancing. I'm not even sure if dynamic consolidation load balancing is a good thing to have, because if you load balance, whenever you have to switch off a server, you have to move a lot of stuff around. Whereas if you create a skew beforehand, then as the workload changes a little bit, you will not incur too much of migration impact. As opposed to what a lot of people claim, live migration actually has some impact. It's not significant, but it has some impact on performance. So you really cannot hope to achieve a lot of migrations without any impact. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, I'll follow up with you.
I have a follow-up on that. First, your scheme does not consider memory at all.
Yes, it does not.
Memory actually is very critical. And also, if memory comes into place, then it's a very difficult bin packing problem. Because memory, right, you have to have a certain amount of memory in order to accommodate one application. It's not the case as a CPU. You can allocate like 20% of a CPU, it will still work. So that's the first comment. The second comment is that in industry practice, there is actually products that do dynamic placement at runtime. For example, WebSphere Virtual Enterprise does that precisely, and I did the work in that. And also, in that environment, it doesn't do migration, because live migration is very expensive, as you said. What it does is that it simply shuts down the application server and then put it up elsewhere. It assumes that the state is in the database, so that it can be put up elsewhere.
So one comment on that, which is, so there are two different kind of scenarios. One scenario for a data center is that you have a gateway sitting in front, which can redirect requests. In this particular case, you can do whatever you want to. You can start off new replicas, you can shut down a few replicas, and there's no cost involved. There's this other scenario in which there's no gateway. So now you have So there's nobody to really redirect request. And you have no choice. The only reconfiguration possible is to actually move things around. On the first comment on memory, actually memory is very important, and memory does create a lot of issues there. The bigger issue actually is, so we the whole thing was done for certain accounts, outsourced accounts, and it's more like monitored information is not really available for memory. So if the information is available, you should actually use that and create a two-dimensional packing here, which kind of can be extended. The technique that we have, the clustering technique, you can create clusters are kind of oblivious of how many dimensions you have. Clustering will become more complicated as the number of dimensions increase, but the basic concept remains the same. So this is something that can be extended, but just because the information is not available in most data centers, we really didn't go for that. But we are actually looking at it a little bit if information is available to extend this to multiple dimensions. And we think the technique should extend, but we have no results as such.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.